Hello, and welcome to The Second Row. I'm Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I'm so excited that you've decided to join me today. I know I hadn't been here in a couple of weeks. Life has been lifing, but we're excited to be back, and I'm glad that you decided to join me on today. Thank you again. So I am excited. I am honored. I am grateful. That's what I posted on Facebook, that I have a special guest on today, and she is the one and only Pastor Melinda Blue, and I am so excited to have her with me. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you are busy, 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 so being able to take some time out today, I really appreciate that. So thank you for joining me on The Second Row.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So for those of you who don't know, Pastor Melinda Blue is the pastor, along with her husband, Bishop Blue of Door of Hope Church in Marion, South Carolina, the big city of Marion, South Carolina. And they're also the lead of the Christian, hold on, let me make sure I get it right, the Christian Covenant Fellowship, CCFM, yeah, yes. Ministries. Well known in this area, in the state, in the United States. So we're excited to have you be a part. So I start off with the same question. I'm going to ask this question to you. Okay. What are three words that your friends would use to describe you?
Thank you again for allowing me to be on this podcast. Okay. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see. I probably would say the first one would be probably resourceful.
Okay.
Probably resilient. Mm-hmm. And let's go with all the R's. Okay. Reliable.
Okay. The three R's. Okay. Okay. Resourceful, reliable, and resilient.
Resilient.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Why resilient? Why do you think that
because
word?
Because I think my friends have seen me take so many hits in life. And they saw me bounce back.
Okay.
And sometimes they call me Tamar.
Okay.
The palm tree.
Yeah.
You know, because I've had so many times where I had to bend over for people, okay, bend backwards, and, mm-hmm, you know, where I could have just thrown up my hands, yeah, but by the grace of God, I bounced back. So
absolutely,
that's why I say resilient.
Resilient. And then, yeah, resourceful.
And resourceful.
Why is that?
Because I'm the type of person, I like to help people.
Okay.
And I think that is one of my callings.
Okay.
And any way that I can help you, yeah, you know, I will. I like to get any resource that you need,
right,
or, you know, that can just help you get further along in,
okay,
life. You know, that's my nature. That's
okay,
what I like to do.
And that's the reliable. That all ties in with
and
the reliable.
And it all ties in together.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes, so the bounce back. You got a bounce back spirit.
I have a bounce back spirit.
Okay.
I'm very quiet. I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
And so I internalize a lot of things.
Okay.
And I go to war inside, you know.
Oh, trust. I understand 100%. Okay,
so,
okay.
A lot of times, you know, I don't blab a lot of things, but I get on my knees when, yeah, I need to go to war for someone,
okay,
or, you know, to be a servant for someone. If someone just need me, mm-hmm, I'm just that type of person. I'm just not going to sit back and take a hit.
Right.
I'm just going to get up and keep fighting.
And keep fighting. That's, yes, awesome. Yes. So introvert, how does one, as an introvert, sit in the second row at Door Hope? How do you think, how has that been for you? Has it been a challenge for you, being the quiet introvert, not the extrovert person? Has that been a challenge for you?
Wow. This could be a long story.
Okay.
It could be a long story.
Okay.
It can be a challenge sometimes, mm-hmm, but I want to start here because I'm a PK. And I grew up in church.
Yes.
I was always very fearful to do anything. But my mother was the opposite.
Okay.
So she would make me do, back then it was respond and call, it was testimony service.
Yes,
it wasn't,
ma'am,
the praise and worship.
Okay, yeah,
type,
okay,
of service. You know, we had to stand at the end of the remembrance table.
Yes.
And do all those wonderful songs.
Absolutely.
And whatnot, call and response.
Yes, yes.
But I would be so nervous.
Okay.
You know, and, mm-hmm, I would try to sit at least on the fifth row. But that mother who would not let you,
not at all,
do what you want to do in,
uh-huh,
church.
Uh-huh.
Come on up here, it's your turn to do testimony. So,
okay,
I guess when I transitioned to South Carolina to the leading lady role, forgive me, sometimes I don't like that first lady role.
I understand. I get it. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But when I moved to the leading lady role,
okay.
I tried to, you know, be reserved and just sit back and kind of take after my father, just quiet by nature.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. For some reason, God wouldn't let me sit still again.
No.
When I became the leading lady.
Okay.
It was just another push that I had to get out there. Mm-hmm. I had to assist my husband and help my husband. So that was one of the reasons and calls that I had to serve in that area. I wanted to sit back, but I couldn't.
You couldn't. Being as a PK, because I'm a PK as well.
I am. Maybe that's why we connect.
That's
so.
Probably why.
That's right. So I'm a PK, so I understand it was never a do you want to.
Right.
Right? It was you're going to.
Exactly.
So, I do consider myself an introvert as well. I'm not the one to start conversations with people. But I think just being pushed out there was setting us up.
Right.
Preparing you.
Absolutely.
He knew where he had, what the plan he had for you, and where he knew he was going to plant you, and you needed to be prepared.
Absolutely.
What you think? You agree with that kind of?
I agree with that totally.
Okay.
You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
That's right.
You know, he's ordering our steps. So I totally agree with you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, that's good. I didn't know you were PK. That's good to know. So in your bio, you say that you did not plan to marry a pastor. That was not in your plans. And it's so funny that so many leading ladies that have sat in these chairs have said the same thing. Absolutely not going to happen. Was not in a plan. But when he came to you and said, honey, this is what the Lord is calling me to do. What was your initial thoughts? What was your initial reaction?
Wow. And it's probably the same reaction that every first lady said.
Yeah.
I will never marry a pastor, and I said a preacher. Yes. Those two categories, I just did not want any dealings mm-hmm, with. Mm-hmm. And I said, never, I will never.
Yeah.
But my mother, again, said, never say never.
Never, right.
And so here I am.
She was right. I said the same thing, and my dad would tell me, Jeremy was called into the ministry and then said, I'm going to be a pastor. My dad, he laughed and picked at me for years because he would say, remember how you said you never wanted to be? I'm like, Daddy, I didn't. Because when I married him, he wasn't.
Right.
Far from it. But the Lord said, no, this is the path that, you know, that I have for him. So,
But in your case, my husband was not a pastor as well.
Okay.
And
so
when he told me, when we were... I'm going to say courting, you know, the young people say dating now, but we was courting.
Uh-huh.
But when he told me, he said, well, I know the plan that God has for me, one of the plans, and I'm called to be a pastor.
Okay.
But I said, I started having second thoughts, you know, like a pastor. I thought about what my mother went through.
Yeah.
So I said, I don't think so. I don't think I want to, you know, have any dealings.
Yeah.
But I knew that was my husband, and I knew that we were ordained for each other.
Right.
So when he told me, I said, it'll probably be 15 years
down the road.
Yeah. I can kind of get myself together, you know, and whatnot, because I know how church folks are. So I said, I can kind of, you know, get myself together, my mind together to deal with the church people.
Right.
But honey, let me tell you, we got married on June 1st.
Okay.
1992.
Okay.
I better not forget the year.
No.
I almost just forgot.
Okay,
I almost slipped my mind, but I better not do that.
Because it'll be a whole...
June 8th, 1992.
Okay.
And right after we got married, he started a Bible study.
Okay.
In the home of one of our members now.
Yeah.
And so we started that Bible study. By the time this same year, August rolled around, the people said, we're not going back to our churches, or I don't have a church home. So that was in August. In February, 6 months later, bam.
Got a church.
6 months. I said, Lord, what are you doing?
Newlyweds.
Newlyweds.
Mm-hmm. Still trying to figure that out.
Yep.
And now you have a church. And as you said in your bio, your first child.
Thank you. And that's what came to mind. Mm-hmm. It was our first baby.
Yeah, your first baby.
Our first child. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you went through, and I'm just assuming all of the things that come along with raising a child.
Yes.
Is the same as starting a church.
Starting a church. Yeah. Yes.
It's all trying to learn it, figure it out, right?
Yeah. But the only thing about raising a child, see, I hadn't raised a child
right,
yet.
Yes.
This part right here is we didn't have a plan.
Okay.
Nobody told us how to be him to be a senior pastor and me to be a first lady. I just took what I saw my mother did and I emulated that.
Yes.
So, but we didn't have a plan and this was the first time we ever had to raise anything.
Okay. You know, so. Yeah. But you've done well. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Yeah, you've done well.
Yes,
and
yeah.
even at, without a plan, he still showed you what to do and how to do it. So God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
So going through that, and you've gone from a home to starting a church to transitioning now to where you are. How has that been for you? As a leading lady, watching the transition from starting small to where you are now, were there times where you just said, this is too much, this is too big, I don't think we can do this? Mm-hmm. Did you have any times where you felt like, I just don't know? Honey, are you sure this is what we're going to do? Mm-hmm. Did you have any moments like that?
I had quite a few moments like that.
Okay, and how did you work through those? How did you work through those moments? Okay.
Well, first of all, like I said, when he told me the first time, and then when we became one and we got married and then, you know, the Bible study and then the church moving forward, he always gave the scripture to me, behold, the Lord has set before me an open door. So he knew that going into this ministry, that God was going to be with him and doors was going to be open for him because he stood on that word firmly.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him standing on that word, I connected with him.
Okay.
It wasn't easy now. Okay. You know, I had to try to build my faith up along with his. And his faith is way up there even now, and mine's trying to come.
Yes, inching trying to meet his.
It's coming. But when we started the storefront, and don't get me wrong, I love storefront churches because that is the time where you can just knit together and be so loving towards each other and get to know each other. But when he started the storefront, I said the first Sunday, I said, "Oh Lord." You know, I've seen so many churches that had opened and they had been open for 20 years, 25 years. And don't get me wrong, when you open a church and God told you to do this, you should see growth.
Absolutely.
You should be producing.
That's right.
So I said, if we open this church and we don't produce, I'm going to tell him. God didn't call you in a sweet way.
Yeah.
In a very sweet way.
I don't think
this is for us.
Yeah.
But the first Sunday that we opened the church, we had about 35 people to join the ministry.
Okay.
And it just kept growing, growing from there. Now the storefront, it held about, we could get easily about 200 people in there.
Okay.
But we was packed in like sardines on a good day.
Okay.
And then my husband purchased the next building next to the storefront, knocked the walls out.
Okay.
And then we got another 150 people in there. And so how he made me look at the transition was, okay, the whole church. He said, this is what we're going to do. We see the Lord is blessing us. We see the Lord is making room. I'm going to take y'all over to the recreation center to see where we're going.
Okay.
So the recreation center was able to hold probably about 600 people.
Okay.
So of course we was in there, you know, with 300 people, but it held 600 people. How are we going to get these seats filled up? And then, you know, he begins to preach the word to me again.
Uh-huh.
The Lord added to the church daily.
Daily.
So that's how I made that transition, was because of him taken us from the storefront to a larger place. And then again, we went to another larger place. So it was easy to adapt along the way and to make adjustments.
Right. So you, what I hear you saying is that you saw his faith and he showed you where we're going.
Where we're going, and he showed the church where we were going. And you know, so he's an excellent leader. So I guess I gained the confidence little by little. Oh, wow, 50 more people did come. Oh, wow, that in a month span, 50 more joined, you know? And then in 2 months span, 50 more joined. So the transition was kind of made easy because he showed us, he took us by a hand like a little child. Let me just show you the process. Guide you step by step how God is going to do this thing.
And that's for other leading ladies who may be in that space. That is good advice, just trusting the process.
Trusting the process.
And praying.
And praying, exactly.
Yeah, for yourself, right.
Oh, that's
Trust the process and pray.
That's right, and pray, and pray, and agree with your husband. Come into an agreement with him. Because if you don't come into agreement, the just like the word said, two or three.
He'll be in the midst.
But, you know, just come into that agreement. And when you agree with each other, anything is possible to happen.
So transition a little bit. Let's talk about boundaries. Has it been, have you had find yourself having to set boundaries when it comes to just with your personal life and friends and just knowing who you are and having those moments where you say, okay, this is a time just for me. And this is the time for me and my husband. Have you had to, you know, set those boundaries for yourself? And
oh, most definitely. And I'm still setting them.
You
know, and the reason why I say I'm still setting them, because, you know, in ministry, you continue to grow and you got new people coming all the time. So you have to teach them about boundaries and about valuing relationships and about communicating with the unique people who God has placed you among. And because if you don't, then, you know, people were taking advantage of your marriage. They're taking advantage of your children. And just you as a woman. You know, because, you know, just because I'm called the leading lady, there are times when I don't want to be your leading lady.
Can we talk about it?
I'm just saying.
That's the truth.
There are times when I just don't want to be Pastor Melinda. Today I'm going to Myrtle Beach and I'm getting ready to eat seafood. And I just want to be that person. I want to be the person I'm getting ready to walk on the beach barefooted. I just want to be that person.
You know?
So you have to let them know that this week, you know, is family week. I used to have to tell some of the deacons sometimes, you know, we're getting ready to go on vacation. Can you announce to the church for us, you know, not to disturb us this week? You know, boundaries.
Boundaries.
I love that question.
Because it's it's so important. It's people don't understand. They'll pull on you. And there's nothing wrong as the leaders. You understand that that's a part of the... That's your part of your role. That's part of your responsibilities. But at sometimes you have to set those boundaries, because if you don't set the boundaries, they'll never stop pulling.
And I love the people of God. I am a people person. Don't get me wrong. I love the people of God. But you have to tell them, you know, I can't be transparent about everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Some things you're going to have to keep a secret.
That's right.
But I want you to know that we are human and flawless. Just like some of you. And our bodies needs to rest. You know, we're not all the time just on our knees praying, speaking in tongues or whatnot. We are trying to live a happy and satisfied well-rounded life. You know? You just have to let them know, because a lot of times they don't think that. All they do is see you in the pulpit. And he's my man of God 24/7.
But in the meantime, he's your man.
And he's my man.
Okay.
I got to have...
That's right. That's right.
That's my money.
And you got to be, you have to protect him as well. Because I don't know about yours, but I know mine. I have to tell him, hey, you need to sit down a little while.
Rest. I have to say that as well.
So that's good that you let the deacons know, hey, we're going on vacation this week.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Absolutely. Right. So that's good. And and so in you also talk about how you help other leading ladies and pastors, you support them. How do you do that? How do you support other leading ladies? Do you help them with the transition, with learning how to deal with being leading ladies? Or do you just support them if they have questions? Or
Well, I support them in several ways. Okay. I know within our fellowship, they kind of like call. So I let my phone book, so to speak, be open.
Okay.
My cell phone be open. Okay. If they have any questions, if they need any help in some area in the ministry or in their personal life or in their family life or just with them.
Right.
You know, something that's going on with them. Okay. I try to let my, like I said, my book stay open.
Okay.
Or my phone stay open where, you know, they can call and have access to me.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good.
And then try to support in their services as well.
Okay. You know? That's good. Mm-hmm. Because like you said at the beginning when we were talking, no one gave you a blueprint.
No one.
So it's just good to know that you have someone that you can call and say, hey, I have a question about this, or how do I handle this situation?
Exactly.
Or how do I set the boundaries when I feel like, you know, boundaries need to be set? Mm-hmm. And so that's good that you are there too. Yeah. Because there's so many leading ladies that aren't touchable that you can't get access to, you know. So that's good that you support. Yeah, that's not you. That's good to know. So your mom.
I'm
have
mom.
Two children.
Yes, ma'am.
And so how has that process been with you as mom and those roles, you know, going from leading lady to mom, just being mom and helping your children become who they are?
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. As I said, growing up as a PK, you know, you see a lot of things, you hear a lot of things.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you was not treated like you should have been treated with some of, you know, the parishioners.
Yeah.
So when it came to us having children, I told my husband, I said, now, growing up in church under my father, my mother's ministry, sometimes we were treated harshly.
Yeah.
And I had good parents. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
they were lovable
parents. Okay.
So I told him, I said, we're not going to believe everything what the church people say about our children.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, with my children, I try to just give them a good balance when they were growing up, you know, like it just wasn't all church. Cause coming up now, I tell my children, y'all didn't have it like me. I went to church from Sunday to Sunday almost.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, we stayed in church, and I heard somebody said this, and they said that their parents drugged them to church, so they've been on drugs. I know you heard that said a long time.
Yes.
And that's the way my parents were. You know, I had to go to church, but I tried, when we had our children, to just give them a good balance, you know, with doing things, of course, inside the church, but also activities outside the church, you know, because coming up again, we weren't allowed to do a lot of these activities that we're doing now.
Right.
But I tried to make sure that my children were balanced,
you know, on
both sides, more so the side of God.
Absolutely.
You know.
And that's something that they always remember.
Right.
Is that it wasn't just church, because you know, some people growing up in church, if that's all they had, then they get out and like forget about it. I'm not doing it. It was too much. It was overwhelming.
In fact, I had a sister, my oldest sister, it was seven of us, and she said, when I get out of this holiness church, I'm going to the Baptist church. And that's what she did.
Okay.
She went to the Baptist church, but she found her way back. Nothing's wrong with Baptist.
No, I'm just saying. But it's not as much as.
But they didn't go to church but once a week.
Right.
And so she liked that, and they got out at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So
that was good.
So
that's what she wanted. Yeah.
So, but I didn't want my children ever to have to grow up and decide, you know, I want to leave, you know, my upbringing, because they had a negative connotation. So that's why I'd like to I gave them the ballots.
That's yeah. And I'm sure they still love that and appreciated
they
that.
Did.
Yeah, they appreciated that. So, okay. So I wanted to ask you about, have you had any challenges with developing friendships? True, authentic friendships. Has that been a challenge for you?
I wouldn't say it was a challenge.
Okay.
It's just that I have adopted the saying that I can be a friend to everybody, but everybody cannot be a friend to me. So therefore, I'm careful about who I choose as a friend or who is close in my circle.
Okay.
You know, Jesus had 12. So
sometimes
you got to narrow some of that stuff down. So, you know, because you, like I said, I love people. So if somebody just say, I want to be your friend, I was the type of person, okay, come on, buddy. You know, like we was in kids' school, grab me around the neck, let's go. We friends, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I try to be a friend to everybody, but everybody cannot be a friend to me. You can be my acquaintance, but not, you know,
my friend. Yeah. And I think that's, for me, that's been a an area that has been challenging for me because you have to know what people's motives are behind that, right?
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, everyone, like you said, I can be everyone's friend, but everybody can't be my friend because you just have to be mindful and careful. And so that's been an area that I've been working on and learning how to trust and understanding. And praying God, you know, sent authentic.
Exactly.
Authentic folks to me. Yeah.
Especially because of the title that we carry.
Absolutely.
So we have to be extremely careful.
Yeah. Yes.
Because who we associate with, they say that's part of our husband, that we all in this clique together.
Right.
You know? So
right.
You just have to be careful that you don't pull the church name down and your husband name down because of some silly woman or, you know.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, absolutely. Just, so that is an area that women, leading ladies have to think about. First ladies have to think about. Be mindful.
Be mindful.
Yeah, be mindful. Okay. So I'm going to do a couple of rapid fire questions. Not hard. Just first thing that comes to your mind. Just things about you. Okay. So nothing hard. Nothing that you shouldn't have to think too hard, but okay. Favorite vacation spot?
My favorite vacation spot is Disney World.
Really?
I love to have fun.
Yeah, I love Disney World too. It just makes you a child. You feel like a child again.
Yes, that's so cool.
I love it. Okay. Favorite food?
Seafood.
Like seafood?
Crab legs.
Yes. Yes. All right. Least favorite food?
My least favorite food is Brussels sprouts. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not a fan. They have to be extra crispy. I got to have some balsamic vinegar. I got to have, you know, dress it all up. Okay. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, oh gosh, y'all going to say, why would you choose that? But it's a movie called Fried Tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes.
I used to love that movie. So.
No, that's good. I like fried green tomatoes. Yeah, it's good. That's good. That's an oldie one.
It's an old one.
Yeah. Who's your favorite artist? Do you have a favorite artist?
Oh, God, Smokey Norful.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I have several.
Okay. Who's others?
I have Smokey Norful. And then, of course, growing up, the Clark Sisters was
absolutely
my favorite.
I just saw them in concert. It was so good.
Oh, really? They were my number one growing up.
Okay. Favorite scripture?
My favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. And there's a story behind that scripture, but I know we probably don't have time.
We got time unless you want. Yeah. I mean, but if that's your, for the, I know the plans, the thoughts that I have towards you.
My daughter was born in a trauma situation where she was mentally challenged.
Okay.
And so when she was born, she was unable to have movements in her ankles and stuff like that, basically her whole body.
Okay.
And so the doctor told me and my husband that she was going to be invalid. She would not recognize us as her parents.
Wow.
And so this was a newborn because she was premature, you know, and I was in the hospital and whatnot and had, you know, emergency surgery. And so when I got the news and when I saw my child laying in that incubator, you know, I just began to cry. And I was like, oh, Lord, maybe. And this is the thought of a mother, okay? My child cannot move, so maybe she might be better off if you just take her home and be with you, okay? Mm-hmm. That's just the thought of a mother.
Yeah, because you don't want them to suffer.
Yeah, and while I was standing there, God is so good.
Yes, he is.
I was standing there looking at my baby, and the Lord said, I know the plans that I have for her. Mm-hmm. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give her an expected end. I have never read that particular verse before in my life. And I went home and I searched the concordance, you know, because we didn't have all this stuff.
Not this fancy. Yeah.
So I searched the concordance and I found that scripture. I might have heard it preached. Maybe that's why it was in my spirit.
Okay.
But I found that particular scripture. Mm-hmm. And I, from that, I got revived. I ran down to the neonatal, took the elevator down. Uh-huh. Normally, I would wait for my husband to come pick me up and take me down. But when you get that word.
Yes, you got to go. You got to run. Yes, yes, yes,
I ran down there and took my baby out of that incubator. And I laid hands on it. And I prayed and spoke in tongues in that rocking chair. And the Lord said, it's going to be all right. I got plans for her. And right then, the doctor came in. She told me and my husband, y'all pick out the wheelchair, pick out this and everything. I told my husband, I'm not picking it out. He said, don't pick it out, me either. Well, the rest is history. My daughter has a juris doctorate degree. She's an attorney. So because the story can go on and on and on, but to God be the glory. So that's how that scripture came about.
That's awesome. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. I saw when she graduated and passed, I was like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. But I didn't know the story.
That's the story.
I didn't know the story. Yes. So favorite scripture. Awesome. 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 So what advice would you give to a first lady, a leading lady, who may be in a space right now where they're just feeling like, I just don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just feeling like, I don't see it. My husband sees it. Mm-hmm. My husband sees the vision. I just don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. What advice would you give them?
Well, one advice I would give a leading lady, sometimes when you're in this role, you're kind of scared and you don't know what to do. You don't have a plan. And all you see is all these faces and people wanting you to be a certain way.
Right.
You know, my first lady is supposed to be like this. Mm-hmm. I would tell them, you know, don't let the people confine you to who they think you're supposed to be.
Right.
Because that's one of the main things. Fear will cripple you.
Yes.
And so when you're fearful, you cannot think, you cannot operate. Mm-hmm. So I would tell a first lady, don't be like me. I'm trying to give you instructions and direction. Don't ever be like me. Okay. I was fearful. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the confidence. Mm-hmm. But you hear it from me. You as a first lady, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
Absolutely.
You don't see the vision of what your husband is doing, but ask God to give you a vision to where you're going.
Right.
And that vision that he's going to give you, he's a God of organization. It's going to complement your husband.
Yes, it is.
So I would say to you, rise up, woman of God.
Okay.
Take your position. Stand strong. Don't let the people confine you because they want to define you.
Right.
So listen. Just follow your husband, be the leading lady that you can be as much as possible. Be spiritual minded. Don't be carnally minded because that will bring about death. Mm-hmm. And just love yourself.
Right.
Love yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't try to, you know, be perfect for 300 people, 400 people. Love yourself first. Get yourself together.
Yes.
Gain your confidence.
Yes.
Because once you gain your confidence, guess what? Joshua, you're going to help cross somebody else.
Come
over.
On. Okay. Okay.
All right. Let's go on.
That's a word right there. That's good. That's good. That's good. I got a message yesterday. We had our church anniversary yesterday. And Pastor Hannah spoke. High Priest Hannah spoke. Yes.
How many years?
16.
Oh.
God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We started at a storefront and moved to where we are now. But he talked about taking risks and not being fearful. Yeah, he talked about that. So it really spoke to my spirit because there are times where fear will cripple you.
It will.
There are things that God has placed in us, especially leading ladies. We get stuck in that space of, I think I'm just supposed to just sit here. But there are things that have been placed in us that God has placed in us.
Yes,
and so don't be fearful.
Don't be fearful.
Yeah, right. So keep trucking, keep pushing.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed this time with you.
I enjoyed it.
It's been good.
It has, ma'am.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Like I said, I know you're busy. And this means a lot to me
that you
would think enough to take a minute and come and hang
out with
me a little bit.
Thank you so much.
So, and thank you everyone for joining me on the second row. I just want to say I am wearing pink today. My shirt says it's one of my favorite scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm wearing this pink in honor of those who are fighting breast cancer, in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, for those who are in the fight with it, and honoring those who've lost that fight. I honor my cousin Lynn. I miss her dearly, but she fought until the end, and I love her. And also Miss LaShonda Williams Shaw, in honor of her. She was a coworker, a colleague of mine at Wilson High School. And so I wear this pink today in honor of those who are in this fight and those who have, I'm not going to say lost the fight. Let me fix that. Who won the fight? They won the battle. They've won the battle. And so thank you again. I ask that you join me every week on The Second Row. You can find me on YouTube and also Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast platforms. We're here every week. Send me a message. Send me a comment. Let me know what you think. Send Pastor Blue a comment. Let her know how awesome she was today. And again, thank you. And I just want to end, as I always do, no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you, remember to accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. We good? All right.